Hello, 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 and welcome to BuzzBinging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Severance Season 2, Episode 7, Shikai? Barda?
Yep, something like that.
Close enough.
Yep. And we have our usual disclaimers of Chinkeek that there will be cursing. There will be spoilers for this show. We're almost done with Season 7. Season 2, Episode 7 is what we're on.
We're almost done with Season 2, which is the only thing that's left, the last thing that's out right now.
Yeah, so you should be caught up by now. If you're not, you can get on it very quickly. And we are having something to drink. This is your idea.
Yeah, we're having poinsettias, which is cranberry juice and Prosecco.
Yep, because it felt like what?
Christmas.
And there's a little bit of
Christmas.
This episode, I guess. I'm trying here.
I don't know what you're trying to do.
I am trying to make this at least a little bit interesting for our listeners. And actually, this episode is really good. So
I love this. And this is the shit I live for, because it actually gives us some, like, it doesn't give us a lot of answers exactly. It gives us more of what we want, which is the Gemma and Mark shit, because we're interested in all of that.
Yeah, we being the two of us.
Yes, us. and that might not be true for everybody. I think it should be.
Well, I think that everything about the dystopian elements of this universe is played out in their relationship. Mm-hmm. And so, or played out using them as pawns.
Yeah.
So I think that that is... You know, we're rooting for normal people, and they were at one point normal.
Yeah.
And so we get to see how that kind of got destroyed, or the effects of the destruction. So
it's kind of difficult to describe what happens in this episode, just because it does not necessarily have a linear storyline.
It has
a lot of flashbacks.
Lots of flashbacks, lots
so
of cut.
I'm just going to go ahead and say what Devin does during this episode, which also pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially what's happening with Mark, who just had a seizure at the end of the last episode because of the whole reintegration, he like got up way too quickly. Like, he was moving around his brain too much and he got overwhelmed, had a seizure. He is asleep right now, and the doctor is like, okay, well, he needs to just sleep it off. He'll wake up when he needs to. He's stable, but he needs to do this in his own time. He's remembering things. And Devin's freaking the fuck out because she didn't know he was even reintegrating, let alone like what the process is actually like.
Well, and here's part of Devin's behavior that I find really offensive, and it's something that she was kind of doing about Gemma with Mark in the last episode. Like, I have a say in this. It's like, I have a say in whether he's getting reintegrated. It's like, no, you fucking don't.
This is his decision, and clearly he's made it. He clearly wasn't doing it like against his will. He chose to do it.
Except that she doesn't know that, right?
Well,
except
she that does.
She does know he's been trying to shit out.
I feel like he, like him not freaking the fuck out when she like came into the house and not being like, yes, I thank God you're here or whatever.
There's
like
this woman downstairs.
Yeah, it's not like he has kept this from her, yes, and she probably wasn't expecting that, but it doesn't mean that he's doing it against his will.
Right.
He's doing it because he feels he needs to, and he thought he should just handle that alone.
Yeah.
And I think he also doesn't want her to be as involved with the Lumen shit as she has been. And because now he's kind of getting the vibe, like, after
it's
been told about Gemma, it's just like, well, who else would they take? Like, if Gemma
they're after
taken,
me,
yeah,
you're right.
And he's gonna
who
go,
else
they're
is
gonna go after
me,
yeah, they're gonna go after people that I care about. And
look,
so I think that was also part of
and
it.
He knows that they have tried to integrate into his sister's family, like, mm-hmm. Cobell has been. I'm gonna start calling her Cobell, I hate her.
I'm so
she
glad
be,
you're on the
same should
page
be, no. I'm not. She's supervisor lady, but she, you know, she shouldn't have a name because she is so vile. And that's kind of my thought process. But she, you know, like, tried to inveigle into their lives. You've got Natalie trying to get Rickon to rewrite his book. I mean, there is a lot of infiltration by Lumen into his sister's life, and they've been kind of like the safe space before that.
Yeah.
And so he has legit fear.
And I feel like with Devin, he she I understand her wanting to be involved and making sure her brother's okay, but you don't have to be as defensive about it when it's pretty clear that the doctor has been working with Mark, knows what's going on, and is trying to help him.
Yeah.
So her being like, yeah, no, you're not doing any more reintegration shit. Absolutely not. And she's just like, well, Mark told me he wanted to.
Well,
So
and this
that's
is
kind
where
of.
Devin really crosses the line. She tries to call Cobell on the cell phone, and the doctor's like, I can't be part of this. That woman is Lumen through and through. She has been raised by them. She is full on Lumen. And Devin's kind of like, oh, well, she's not anymore. Like, you're gonna erase whatever it is, however old she's supposed to be, 50 something, 60 something. Like, you're gonna erase decades of programming with, oh, you got fired. I mean, we know that she wants to be back at Lumen doing this work. So
And fully like able to manipulate, not just in like an official capacity. She wants to be on the severed floor manipulating these people.
right.
And I am so fucking sorry, but it feels out of character for
For Devin,
Devin to like it,
yes.
having had the last thing that you like know about Cobell is that you thought that she kidnapped your child.
Right, and she betrayed your trust. Holy fucking shit,
She taught you how to nurse your child.
this is the woman you're gonna call who you know has also betrayed your brother? I don't think so, but that's what this show wants us to believe.
And
So
clearly your
whatever.
brother wants nothing to do with her
Yes.
because he like freaked out on her and was like the only reason he kind of hesitated in that confrontation was because Cobell kind of almost slightly answered his question on whether Gemma's alive or not.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the only reason he was like, maybe I need to talk to this person a little bit more. Other than that, he wants nothing to do with her.
Right.
So you thinking, oh, you know who I'm going to call? Like the Lumen official who tried to invade my privacy and my brother's
Life.
privacy.
And you like
Like,
yeah,
what the
no.
fuck?
Are
Why do
you
you think that's a
saying?
good idea? That pisses me off. Like, it
Right, she's
makes no
smarter than
sense.
that. She's way smarter than that. I
You'd
don't know what the fuck
think.
is happening here.
And I think the thing is, and she also brings up this other thing of there are
I'm
other
starting to be
ways.
pissed off about this episode. Sorry, go ahead.
It's just that one aspect for me personally, but or one of the that's one of the aspects that pisses me off. The other one is like p fully part of the story that doesn't feel super out of character. It just feels like
It's
it's just
evil.
yeah, it's just
Bad.
people, bad people. But this just feels so stupid. But Devin does come up, have this other idea that she mentions to the doctor before she is just like, oh, I'm gonna call Cobell. She thinks about, oh yeah, remember, I know those birthing cabins are severed or can be. So why don't we talk to Mark's innie that way instead of like trying to break his brain and try to like do it like in this physical way? Why don't we just have him like talk? We'll talk to him that way, and which I don't think is an awful idea. I
No,
just
but
I
the
feel like she's also trying to be like, okay, well, clearly this isn't working, even though that there is no evidence other than a seizure of him like moving too fast in the procedure. That is showing that. So it's just weird.
right, and what the doctor says is those birthing center things work completely differently. No,
Yeah.
so.
And so she calls Cobell because of reasons. I couldn't tell you why. I wish that they like had some kind of other thing going on with like Devin, like there being more of a reason why Devin's doing that other than just like, oh, another Lumen person. That's it. That's
Yeah.
the only reason she's thinking that. And I have no idea why she thinks she could trust her.
Yeah, I mean, like, of all the people that you know at Lumen, who is it? Why would this be the
And
person that
telling
you think
her
you can
that
trust?
he is reintegrated is just so stupid to me. I don't,
You mean the
whatever.
doctor saying that?
No, Devin telling Cobell.
But that's not until the
No,
next
but it's
episode.
clear that that's what she's going to
Yeah,
do.
like, it's insane.
It's so
It is
stupid.
incredibly
And I don't
insane.
blame the doctor for being like, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm
Like,
out. Well, and the doctor's like,
they're
I'm
out to get
going to
her
be
anyway.
arrested or killed or something by Lumen for doing this. So I gotta go.
I gotta go. And
Yeah.
I don't blame her.
Yeah, I
I'd
don't
get out of
either.
that shit too,
Yeah.
because that's ridiculous. Anyway, and also, like, what Devon is also doing to Mark is a disservice to him, considering the fact that she doesn't know what part of the process of reintegration he's in, let alone like not only what the effects of that will be if she just leaves him like this, but
Right.
also like if that will be painful, if that's like only halfway done and he will
Well,
have some
right. And Devon gets
brain
pissed at
damage.
her about leaving, but it's like, this wouldn't be an issue if you weren't being stupid.
Yeah, she gets all upset at her for trying, the doctor for trying to leave. It's like, you're basically threatening this doctor's life by trying to involve Cobell. I can't blame the doctor for being like, yeah, peace out. I'm not going to be a part of this anymore.
Totally agree.
And she was trying to do her best by Mark. She truly was. And I mean, she's doing better than she was with Petey, obviously, but you know.
Well, so the rest of this episode is basically what we see going on in Mark's mind. And
Well, no, not necessarily.
it's either dreams, his mind, or memories, and memories of Gemma as well.
Well,
Now, we're
we.
assuming that these are actual Gemma things, like her POV that we are seeing. We don't know that.
Yeah, well, we kind of do. But it essentially it's a dual episode of like seeing Mark and seeing Gemma. And yeah, Mark's aspects of it are all flashbacks, and Gemma's aspect of it is what's going on the testing floor slash flashbacks.
Right. So we see their meet cute, which is at a blood drive on campus, which is quite cute. And they are making jokes about papers they're grading, and we get to see some of them. And do you want to just go through this like backstory stuff?
Yeah, I guess we can do that. So yeah, they do the whole blood drive. They are clearly flirty. It's very cute, and obviously he asks her out at some point. Like we don't see it, but we know that that happens because the next thing we see is like the day after a date or something like that, he goes to her office and is just like, "Oh yeah, you said you liked ants, so I got you a little mini ant farm." And she's like, "I actually hate ants. I said plants."
And he's like, oh, too
But
bad.
they're
None I
still very
guess.
flirty and it's still cute. And so she's not mad at it, of course. She's just,
No,
she finds it
that
funny.
right. And we get to see them dating and
Yeah.
kissing, and then
Very
they're
cute.
clearly together.
Yeah. And we often go back to a shot of them in bed, not like having sex or anything. It's just them, like, kind of on a lazy morning, like just holding hands and touching and all that stuff. It's very sweet. And it's clearly a comforting memory for them both to revisit. It certainly for it is for Gemma. But so we see that, and then we kind of flash forward a little bit. We completely skip their wedding, which is a choice, but whatever. It doesn't matter. They're kind of just hanging out at the house, and he's trying to grade papers, and she's distracting him with ki by like kissing his neck, and it's really cute. And then she notices that he got a crib on sale, and so it's clear like that's the direction that both of them want the relationship to go, and so they're kind of
I'm assuming they're
excited.
married by this point.
I'm assuming so.
Yeah, and we get to see them having dinner with Devin and Rickon.
Yeah, and at the dinner, Gemma refuses wine, and Devin picks up on the fact that, oh, well, you're not. I love that that's the surefire way to show that you're pregnant is
On
that
a
you're using
TV show.
alcohol. It's either that or throwing up. That the two things that will show that you're pregnant.
Yeah,
But
but Devin's really excited for them, and clearly they're very excited, and but then we see that she has a miscarriage. It's horribly sad.
it's very sad. It's also it's not like insanely graphic, but you do, it's the little things that you see of like the blood dripping down her leg, and she sits in the shower and while it's running and it's just
She's crying,
crying.
yeah, and
Mark
that's how
finds her
Mark
like
finds her.
that.
Yeah. And they clearly decide that things progress and they end up at a fertility clinic.
They're gonna try IVF.
And some of that involves, and having been through some of this stuff, I understand it. Like, she's having to get shots and the hormones are wreaking havoc on her body and her emotional state and everything else. And she's feeling inadequate to begin with, which I definitely understand. And they there's a lot of discussion, not a lot of discussion, but there's some discussion about that and some, reflection in what we see in these montages of her feeling inadequate. And he eventually is like, well, then let's just stop. If it's not working, then let's just not do it anymore.
Because she has still not gotten pregnant
Right.
since starting IVF. And obviously, and what's not necessarily shown, and which I'm kind of surprised by, considering there's both just supposed to be professors. Not that professors aren't paid, like the teachers in general and educators are not paid enough, period. But the fact that money doesn't seem to be an object in that is interesting as well.
Well, I would
But
back up a little bit. I don't know that they're going through IVF because shots, I didn't go through IVF and I had shots. So, a lot of there is an enormous gambit of fertility
that's true.
medication involved. And I don't know that they got as far as IVF because IVF involves like harvesting eggs,
Yeah, retrieval
harvesting,
and stuff.
all that stuff. And I don't know
So
that
that's
that's what
probably what not, but I mean, still, it's they were doing the hormone injections and shit like that.
it was
But
horrible.
anyway,
But
yeah, she
yeah, I
still hasn't
mean,
gotten pregnant. Anyway,
the
but
money is no object thing is kind of surprising, but
that,
still.
yeah, that's the part that I was surprised they didn't bring up. But it's clearly taking an emotional toll
On
on,
both of them,
yeah, on both of them.
because
And
he's like, he's struggling with trying to put the crib together, and
I think he's taking it apart.
was he taking it apart?
I got that
Oh,
vibe. And
so
Gemma
sad.
is just it, the way it's shot also is beautiful. It's the, well, I say beautiful. It's very sad.
Visually lovely.
Visually beautiful. It's very dark in I think Gemma's in the kitchen, and which is far enough away from the room, but you can still hear him taking it apart, and he's very upset, and
Kind of
you can hear
slamming
the
stuff.
wood clattering against it itself, and it's just really, really depressing.
Yeah.
And yeah, Gemma's feeling extremely useless and
Hopeless.
inadequate.
Hopeless too.
Yeah, and she I'm surprised that they don't bring up adoption at this stage, but again, it's a lot of montage and less actual discussion of what's going on. So maybe that was a topic. Anyway, they
Are
are.
shown like there's a night where Mark is clearly staying home from some social
No.
thing.
Before that, they have an argument. She, I think, is still on the mailing list for the fertility clinic or something, and she's filling out some random shit.
She's
And
like drawing pictures, like, and one of them is this Chikai Baido thing, which I guess she knows what that means from her education, and she describes it as a man fighting with himself, which is symbolic of what's actually going on with Mark. So go ahead.
yeah, and he's just kind of like, well, maybe, yeah, we should just give up on that. Like, why are you still even opening anything from the clinic? And she's just kind of, well, you don't have to be an asshole about it. Just because I'm not like getting treatment anymore does not mean that like I can't just open the mail and do what I want with it. And they're clearly getting very short with each other, especially when the topic of fertility comes up in any kind of way, even just in mentioning the clinic as a thing. It might not even have been the fertility clinic. It might have just been something completely different, but clearly the hurt is still there. And so they're not like in a really, really, really bad place in their marriage necessarily, but it's certainly a strain on their marriage. And like you were saying, there's a night where Gemma's going to be going out to what seems like a game night slash something, some kind of get together.
Something that will have charades,
For 20 minutes, apparently.
or as John Nevy says, the game.
The game. And she's gonna go, and she's like, well, I mean, you can go if you want to. And he's just like, no, I'm gonna stay back and work on some stuff. And she reminds him of something that she got for him, and it's probably some research or something like that, and he hasn't looked at it. So he will, and she says, I love you as she's leaving. He doesn't respond. And then she's just like, I said, I love you. And then he's just like, oh, yeah, sorry. I love you too. Yeah. And
That
it's not
hurts.
necessarily supposed to be in a dismissive way, but it certainly is telling that that's not like an automatic response for him
Well,
at this
right,
point.
his mind is
His mind is
occupied elsewhere,
elsewhere.
and
She
That's
don't think
very
it was
sensitive.
malicious. I
No,
don't think it's
I don't
malicious.
either at all. And but that is the night that the police show up at the house to give a death notification.
And the way this is shot is so cool of like just him in the shadows and the final shot of the episode, which we're not done with the episode, but the final shot of the episode is him walking down the hallway towards the entrance of their home to the police, and it's like half of his face, like the top half of his face is covered in shadow, but there's a tear that goes down his cheek,
Right, because he can
and
see that it's police at the door and he's upset and scared.
yeah, and I'm assuming at this point they've told him.
So,
Meanwhile, on the testing
meanwhile,
floor.
oh my God. So, a lot of this is intercut. Like, there are a bunch of medical things happening with Gemma on the testing floor. Like, she's having blood drawn and she's being questioned by nurses and things like that. And a lot of that is intercut with the treatments or going to the doctor or whatever happening in the flashbacks. So you can see the parallels between them. Of course, you know, everything that's happening on the testing floor is all lumen and sanitized and corporate. And so she's got this like weird polyester jumpsuit on, not jumpsuit, but like outfit on the when she's getting blood drawn, and she is told to put on various clothes. Like the very first thing we see, and it's a little strange. She's having an interaction with a nurse who is asking the kinds of questions you ask Alzheimer's patients, like what memory tests and stuff like that. And like, do you remember, you've got however many rooms today, and it's six rooms she's supposed to go to. And she has to put on this outfit. And as soon as she sees the outfit, Gemma says, shit. Like she's really not looking forward to whatever today is going to bring. And it is, she's taken to all the rooms, seem to have signage on the outside. And a lot of them are either last name, sound like surnames, or sound like locations.
And they are the names of files that MDR is refining.
Sorting, refining, yeah.
And what's interesting also about the questions that Gemma's being asked by the first doctor, there are many. Well, I say doctor. I think she's just like a nurse or
She's a
like
nurse. Yeah, there's the
someone who just
nurse.
kind of escorts her around.
Right. There is, well, go ahead, and
We'll
I
get
will
to
add
it.
to that.
So she asks her if you were, and I think they're taking some kind of test. I don't know exactly what test. It has something to do with something. And she asks Gemma, in a rock slide, would you be more scared of suffocating or drowning? Which, in
Mudslide.
many
It's a
ways,
mudslide.
whatever.
Yeah.
And which are essentially very similar. But anyway, she says drowning, and what I got from that is they are using the nut like they're like gauging some kind of number of something, like the intensity of fear or something somehow. And the vibe I got from that was that's the fear that the MDR people feel whenever they see the numbers that don't belong, and that
Oh,
that's what
that's
they
interesting.
refine. That's what I got from that.
That's what they are able to hide away, maybe. Put in a
And
box,
what's interesting,
sever out.
yeah, I guess. And I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to sever out the pain, the like fear. And I don't know. This entire episode is meant to give you a little bit more insight in the testing floor, but really the way that they're doing it is just providing very like zero answers. But
Well, it's also more kind of sick and menacing. So we're going to talk about it some more because this episode I interpret in a certain way.
okay. What I will say for like just the layout of the testing floor as far as like severance is concerned, Gemma seems to be in her like most normal state, like outie, unsevered in her like regular apartment, which is essentially a room. And I say apartment, it's more like a
It has a
cell. It's
couch.
a cell.
It has a sink.
It's a cell. And she's not
It
allowed
has a
out. It's a
bunk.
cell.
Yeah.
And she is unsevered all throughout the hallway, but as soon as she steps into any of the
Rooms.
rooms, she becomes severed again, but not Miss Casey severed, a different kind of severed,
Right.
which I don't know how that works.
Well, and it seems to be a different kind by room,
Yeah.
too. And so that's
I
creepy.
don't know how many fucking chips they have in her head,
We
but like,
do, though, because we get to see an X-ray. There's only one in there. So
yeah,
maybe
so I don't
that's
fucking
what the
know.
refinement is. They're refining the chip so that it can do different kinds of severed things.
Maybe, I
I
don't
don't know.
know. I don't know. And so she dresses up and goes to these different rooms. She has an outfit, a different outfit for each room. And some of them are themed to a decade or like a vibe. She puts on like basic business wear.
Yeah, I mean,
And
so
goes to the first room, which is Wellington or whatever.
right, it's a little bit, I don't know. It's fashionable, but she has this like headband. It's a little, I don't know.
It doesn't matter. She goes into the room and
There's a
she's
dentist.
severed, and it's a dentist, and she's very uncomfortable.
Well,
And
he's creepy as fuck, by the way. And
yes.
they, you know, this guy who is playing many roles on this particular floor is creepy as fuck.
Yeah, he plays like different roles in each room,
He dresses up too.
and she, yeah, and she never knows that it's him because she's severed in different ways in each room, so she doesn't remember who he is. She doesn't remember who Mark is. She doesn't whatever in those
When she's
rooms,
severed, yeah. When she goes into the
but she knows who Mark is outside of them. Anyway, she gets out of that room 2 hours later and her mouth hurts, and
Right.
we don't know exactly know what was done to her mouth, but it's
Yeah, she
not
didn't want to
ideal.
open her mouth for the dentist. And you see that she's afraid when she goes in there. But the behavior of this dentist seems to have an undercurrent of sexual stuff. And so you don't know if there's other stuff happening to her when she's in there.
Oh, almost certainly. Well, I say almost certainly. We don't
I
exactly
believe,
know.
I
I
think, like,
believe that they're really, especially this guy, because
yeah,
there
he's
are
so
things
creepy.
mentioned by his coworkers that,
Yeah.
oh, you're not going to be able to play with Gemma anymore, or like something along those
Yeah,
lines. It's like,
yeah.
okay. But
Yes.
we'll get
And
to that
well, yeah, we are
later.
going to get to that. But, you know.
So they also pass the Cold Harbor room, which she apparently has never been in. I think what they need to do for MDR is they refine a room, she goes in, and then they test her results afterwards. Because at the end of each day, after she goes into all the rooms, she is brought back out, talks to a different guy, a doctor of some kind. There are three
It's
different.
the same guy.
Is it the same guy?
It's
I
the
thought there
same
were three
guy.
different people.
No,
No, but this guy doesn't have a beard, Mom.
it doesn't. No, Natalie, it's the same guy. He has fake facial hair.
Why does he have fake facial hair?
Because it's part of his dress.
Why has
He
he
pulls
liked
it.
it?
It's the same guy. It's so creepy.
I
Oh,
didn't know that was the same guy, but
it's
whatever.
way creepier than you're thinking. Go ahead.
Also, a lot of white guys just look the same. So, can you blame me? Anyway, moving forward, he checks in on Gemma and is just like, how many rooms did you go in today? Six. What did you feel anything after you left the room? And she's like, my mouth hurt. And she, but no emotions. He asks about specifically about the emotions she felt when she left. And she can't remember feeling any emotion in the room.
Right, which room hurts you know, that kind
Which room hurt you, sweetie?
of
Where'd
thing.
the room
Wellington.
touch you, sweetie? In the mouth? Oh, fuck. I'm sorry. And what? Later on.
And I didn't say this, but like the dentist guy, we had seen someone that whose face we weren't allowed to see previously whistling. This was the when
Guy who picked up
the guy
the.
who picked up the dental utensils in a previous episode was whistling "The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald," which obviously is a song that Natalie doesn't recognize. But for
Oh,
those
I'm
of you,
so sorry.
but it is a song about the worst shipping accident that ever occurred on Lake Superior, and where this ship went down in icy waters in November and everyone died and it was awful and like just the whole thing
Based on real
sucked.
events, I'm
But it
sure.
is based on real events.
Sounds like American Pie on the water.
But this what?
Don't know why.
I really
It's
don't
about a
either.
tragic event. That's what I got from
Yes,
that.
it's horrible. It's tragic.
And so
And
is
this
the
guy
song American
likes
Pie.
it. No, it's in a different way. I'll play it for his own.
I
But
don't need
anyway,
to. It's fine.
he whistles this when he's coming into the Wellington room to do whatever creepy things that he's claiming to do as a dentist in there. It sticks out because of the layers of meaning this could have. Like what happened on Lake Spear was cold and water, like a cold harbor kind of thing. So, is that meaningful, the fact that he's whistling that? I don't know. She had mentioned when she is being talked to after this first day that we are allowed to see, that she saw a new sign on one of the doors, and he said, "Oh, it's Cold Harbor." And she's like, "Well, what's going to happen when I get to go to Cold Harbor?" And he's like, "Oh, I forgot. I wrote it
Your
down."
pain will go away or something, and then Mark's pain will also go away, and
Oh
then,
no, it's creepier than that.
well, Mama
So,
didn't get a word for word recount.
because I'm trying to find where my notes are. So because again, it's
Gemma's getting
intercut.
frustrated.
I want to talk about this conversation that they
Okay,
had.
she's still getting frustrated.
Oh, he said, this is what he says. "You will see the world again, and the world will see you." And she's like, "I want to see Mark." And what he says is, "What you're doing will benefit Mark and will benefit the world that you are siring,"
Well.
which is, I'm sorry, I'm taking that as a hint. But Gemma responds with, "Can you just speak like a normal person?"
That's why I wrote Gemma's getting frustrated.
Yes, and she's right, because that corporate doublespeak gets under my skin. It's not double entendre, it's corporate doublespeak. It's a different thing altogether.
Gemma goes to another room on the testing floor, dressed in like a 60s getup, and she get
With a wig. Oh, it's terrible. It's a
she's
bad wig.
she's on a plane and it has major turbulence and they're trying to serve her food, but in the middle of the turbulence and the flight attendant is going all over the place,
The flight
and
attendant is the dentist,
of
dressed up
course
as
he
a flight
is. He just
attendant.
loves changing clothes and they love changing Gemma's clothes for some reason. And they and she is experiencing the fear of a turbulent flight. And I guess again, that's going to be probably the fear that the people feel when they are refining that file or whatever. Meanwhile, she goes to another room where she's dressed as like a 50s or 60s housewife, and after Christmas morning, and
She's got a robe on.
she has to write thank you cards for Christmas gifts with the with it seemingly with her non-dominant
Right, with
hand.
her left hand. And again, dentist guy with beard and whatever is just sitting in a chair watching it.
Playing her husband and being
Ugh.
condescending.
Ugh.
And he makes her say, I love you to him.
Yeah. And she's clearly insincere about it, even in her severed state. Like she's like, it's always Christmas.
We've also missed the fact that there is a guy who is watching all of Mark's, but like there's a separate Lumen guy in a separate like computer room.
It's like a security thing.
Yeah, who's watching all of Mark's progress on all of his files and also watching Gemma's progress in the testing room.
And beard guys watching.
Beard guy's watching, and he's talking to the executive, the guy executive who we've been seeing with Helena and all that stuff.
Oh, that's beard guy.
Oh, well, fake beard guy who plays the
Oh, no.
dentist in
Yeah, the
it
dentist
is
guy.
also there. And he's wearing the ugly Christmas sweater, and they're just like, "Why the fuck are you wearing a Christmas sweater?" So clearly, they seem to have so much control, but for whatever reason, Cobell and that guy just get to do whatever the fuck they want. And it's like, oh yeah, I dress up in like this
And do kinky
whole
weird
thing and do
shit with
weird shit.
Gemma. Oh
Weird.
God, it's so bad.
But they say that after Cold Harbor's done, you're not going to be able to do anything with Gemma anymore. So it's implying either that she's gonna die
Right.
or something else. I have no idea. And we're not
Yeah,
supposed to.
you're gonna be done with Gemma is kind of the way it's like, oh, it's Fakir, and that's the response. Like, okay.
Right.
Really?
The
All right.
doctor goes to Gemma's cell and talks to her and is like, I'm here for your recap of the day. Where'd you go? What'd you do? How'd you feel?
This feels
And
like such a long Black Mirror episode to me. It's like, ugh. I mean, sometimes this show feels
this
that way,
whole
but
show
this,
is a Black
yeah,
Mirror episode
it
long.
is.
And the she tells him that she wants to go home. Because throughout this episode, she's been having flashbacks to Mark and all that stuff whenever she's unsevered. And she clearly misses home. And there's no telling exactly when these moments are happening. We're getting the vibe that it's happening simultaneously with the rest of this season. But there is a possibility that some of it was from earlier.
Yeah, they're just such liars. So, like, when she's talking about, look, I want to go home to Mark, his response is, well, is this what the
Yeah.
point? Yeah. So, what he says to her is, oh, Mark is married and has a daughter. He's moved on. And she's like, I don't believe you. And he's like, you've been down here a really long time. Maybe in one of these severed rooms, you've had an attachment that is far deeper than anything you ever had with Mark. It's like,
His dream,
dream on,
his dream.
loser.
But
No.
I also, it's so interesting because they are obviously lying about the length of time, and because from what we know, she's only been down there a year. She's been,
Yeah.
quote, dead a year. And Mark was even lied to about the extra 5 months that
Right.
he was told passed, but they didn't. So it's been a year, and what this fake doctor is saying is, oh yeah, he remarried and had a daughter last year. Like,
Yeah.
that's not how that works. It's been just a year,
Yeah, no. And
unless he was cheating on Gemma and
yeah,
got
no.
remarried right then, there's no way. And obviously, he's just trying to break Gemma down even more because it's her worst fear that he's given up on her, that he was able to have a not that he was able to have children without her, but the fact that someone else could give him children that and she couldn't, and just playing on her worst insecurities and fears. And she clearly is calling his bullshit. And so she hits him over the head with a chair.
Go, Gemma.
Go, Gemma. And
She
she.
also, there had been a mention that she had previously broken this guy's fingers. I'm like, yeah, she good girl. But yes, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So she escapes with his key card and she's running through the hallway. And she gets to the elevator, uses his key card to get in, and goes down. Sorry, to the severed
The
floor.
seventh floor we know and love.
Well, and she blinks into the severed state that is Miss Casey. And so she's very confused.
Yeah, she's walking down the hallway, that long hallway we've seen that Irving had painted so many times, and there's no sense of urgency left in her. And she gets to the door, and what happens?
Mr. Milchick's there.
Fuck!
And he's like, hi, Miss Casey. Yeah, you took a wrong turn. You need to
Yeah,
go.
your outie came for like a visit and got on the wrong elevator. Yeah, why don't you go back the way you came? And she's like, okay, are you sure? Okay. I mean, she's really easily manipulated
Well,
into
that's
going.
the point of
Miss Casey, yeah.
Miss Casey, which is just another severed state for poor Gemma.
Yeah.
And so she goes back into the elevator and blinks back into Gemma, and Gemma just crumbles when she sees the nurse there waiting for her on the other
Yeah.
side of the elevator.
She's in tears in the corner
And
in the
she's
fetal
calling for
position.
Mark,
Yeah.
and she's just depressed, and I don't blame her. And I'm
Neither.
so sad for her
Yeah.
because now, especially that she's fucked over the doctor even more. They're not going to treat her with kids gloves even more so than she already has. And she doesn't realize what's happening in the other rooms is psychological torture, but it is.
Yeah.
And chances are they're going to ramp that up to 11 and she's going to be stuck there.
And that's the end of the episode. What were your best parts?
Gemma flashbacks. Thank God we figured out who this woman is. And
Yeah, really.
because we haven't gotten any inkling about, other than like from Mark, and that's only
That
like
he
in
loves her,
passing, that he
basically.
loves her. She was a professor of Russian literature at the same university, and they got along with Devin and Rickon. But otherwise, we didn't really know anything about her. And we had, and I had nearly forgotten that he had mentioned that they had some issues having trying to have a baby.
I remember that.
I didn't remember him mentioning it during the date necessarily. I might have mentioned it like whenever, but I might have mentioned it when we covered that episode, but I didn't quite remember that. And so seeing that from Gemma's point of view and Mark's, we get a little bit of Mark's point of view, but this really is about Gemma's point of view. And I love that. I love that we're finally seeing a point of view we haven't seen before. And I find her flashbacks very interesting, and it just makes me in her more endearing to me. And because she didn't do anything wrong, and she can't change something about her body that she just is, she can't control it. It's something that she is clearly ashamed of and feels awful about, but it's not her fault. And she was trying to just, and she's clearly like sassy and funny and loving and loves Mark, and Mark loves her, but it's really sad to see.
No, it's always a tragic story.
Getting some idea of what's going on the testing floor, like I generally, the idea of whenever they feel the fear of seeing those numbers and refining them is taking more fear. Oh, or it, that's the fear that's going on in those rooms. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or the fear that is taken away every single time, like she gets out of the rooms. I don't know. I don't know. Unclear. Mark and Gemma in general, I really like their little love story, even though it's slightly mostly tragic. It's clear that they still love each other a lot,
Yeah, and they're trying to get back to each other.
and as soon as I saw the scene right before Gemma disappeared, of course they were going to make it as sad as possible that like, oh, he wasn't paying attention, he didn't go with her that night. He, blah, blah, blah. It was a clear setup of like something tragic's going to happen.
This
And
is a dramatic show.
yeah, so they went with the most heart-wrenching thing possible that he almost didn't say I love you to her and like all that stuff, all of it. The acting I think is fantastic, especially coming from the actress who plays Gemma. Having to be like all the different severed people is not easy.
Blaming the ASMR, we're having thunderstorms.
Yeah, in the broad daylight. Anyway, and she, I think she's fabulous. I think that obviously we love Adam Scott. Adam Scott is so good in this. I wish we got to see a little bit. I obviously, for aesthetic purposes, we didn't see the whole like him finding out that she's dead thing, or see all. Yeah, we didn't see all of it. But I do love his performance of like taking apart the crib and just all of it. It's just heartbreaking. It's very, very well done. That's what I've got.
Best parts, yeah.
Yeah.
My best parts, I love the Gemma backstory. I really do feel like it adds so much richness to the creepy elements that we've already been seeing from Lumen, and this creepy dentist. I mean, it's so appropriate that he's a dentist, or at least one of his creepy roles is as a dentist. That guy is like just so nasty.
He's your best part.
It's a best part that they've created this level of menace for her. Like, it is as bad as Mark's imagining it could be. And I love both of their performances. And I love their performances together. They make this a very credible relationship, even though we see only tidbits of it. And we care about them based on their performances, and that's great. I love the music. And I talked about the record of Edmund Fitzgerald, but in some of these montages about their relationship and the stuff they're doing, there's like this kind of French, like cafe
Cafe.
music. Like there's just like some very, both buoyant stuff and both and sad stuff with that. There's just a sense that they had a really good romantic relationship, and that is conveyed also by that part of the ambiance. What were your worst parts?
Sad Gemma backstory. It's still depressing, but I probably will take that off just because it does make her a more three-dimensional character. Kind of confusing answers. I still don't quite understand what's up, and I know that that's the point, but I also feel kind of cheated out of answers at this stage in the game
And
because
we're in episode 7 of season 2.
I know, and I feel like we have. Severance is really good at like adding mystery and like just adding random elements like the fucking goat room or this testing floor and all that shit. Or what are we refining? Like, I'll never know. What are we refining has been a question that needs to be answered like toot sweet. And we've been asking that question since the beginning. And it's, I guess that is like the central mystery of the show. And this is supposed to be like a step in the direction of, oh, we're going to find out answers. I don't feel like I found out anything. I feel like we saw, I feel like I have a theory on what might have happened, but I still don't have any like concrete answers that they have given me. Nothing has been really confirmed. They are really good at making really interesting atmosphere and having her going to these different rooms and these different outfits and under these different circumstances has given me the, oh, the fear is what they feel whenever they're refining or whatever. But that still doesn't answer any questions about what the purpose of the refining is when it comes to, or what Cold Harbor really is.
Like getting rid of the fear of what? Like
Yeah,
the fear of death?
like
Is
what do
that
you
what the point is
what
for
is
Cold
it?
Harbor?
Like it doesn't make any sense.
Well, and getting rid of fear, is that like the purpose of severance? Like you won't feel fear before or after, just during? I
You
mean,
won't
like
feel
I
any emotion. Like,
yeah,
is
like I
that the
don't know.
point? I don't know. But if that were the case, I feel like that she should be feeling different things in each of the rooms.
And
Like,
that's
one
not.
is for fear, one is for love, one is for happiness, one is for anger, one is for sadness, whatever. Like, they don't do that. So I don't know exactly what this is. It's all fear.
Maybe it's all the kinds of things you might want to get severed out. Like you don't want to go to the dentist, so you want to sever that out. You don't want to be afraid of flying, so you sever that out. You don't want to be like writing bunches of thank you notes, so you sever that out. I don't
Maybe.
know.
And maybe after Cold Harbor, her like you said, the chip might be completely refined to the point where they will take it out of her head for like inspection or whatever
Duplication.
and
Right,
duplication.
like they
And
so
that
that
will
they
kill her or something. Like
yeah I, or they
maybe.
or they need to kill her so she doesn't remember. I don't know. It's crazy. But what else do you have for
Devin
us?
trying to call Cobell. That's so fucking stupid. It's out of character and I hate it. And the doctor. I hate him.
Yeah, dentist in all caps. He's just the worst. This whole like sexual bondage kind of thing. Like
Bonded.
I'm not saying what I mean by bondage is like she is being kept on this floor for what appears to be sexual reasons,
It might be.
at Lumen. And beard guy is creepy. That nurse ratchety person, creepy. Milchick is creepy. And yeah, I agree. Devin being dumb just really irritates me. What grade did you give this?
A minus.
Yeah, in spite of the fact that I have all of these negatives, I gave it an A minus also.
Yeah, I. If it gave me more answers, it'd probably be an A. Because
That's
I
not
do,
the purpose.
because I do love the flashbacks and what they bring, and it gives even more context to why we care about Gemma and why we care about her and Mark being reunited and all that stuff. And I think it was necessary, absolutely, for that to
Oh,
happen.
yeah, because
I wish
otherwise
it
we wouldn't
happened
give a shit.
sooner.
After a while, you're kind of like, well,
And then it's just like, well, we don't know anything about Gemma. We've seen Miss Casey, and that's it.
Well, right, and we've also seen like, hey, this relationship with Annie Helly isn't terrible.
Yeah, they seem to be getting along
So,
great. Why do we care about Gemma? This is why. They have been through real shit together. They love each other, and they want to be together.
And well, and that's part of it too. Like the bad stuff is part of the relationship being so strong,
Yeah.
and I think that that's really the thing that Severance gets wrong. Like your relationships
The
aren't
Annie
going to be
scale.
strong. Well, no, like the concept of severance
Oh, I
gets
see.
wrong. Like,
Okay.
it's not going to bring us together and make us stronger. It doesn't do that.
Okay. I thought you were talking about the show. I was
No,
like, what do you mean he gets it
the
wrong?
concept of severance gets that
Yes,
wrong.
totally,
So
absolutely.
yeah. So we
What
but
was your, like, you said all your concepts. What was it, just the sexual part that was your concept?
the sexual part is a big one, but you know, when you're talking about this overarching idea of severance and what they're doing with Gemma, I do think that their goal is to create someone who's
The perfect severed
the
person.
perfect severed person, and that they want everyone to be that perfect severed person. Like, they want all these automatons, basically. And in order, and their goal seems to be like, oh, it's all for Kier or whatever, but it's for Kier in a very specific way. By the way, when I, and it hit me, and then it kind of went in one eye or ear or went out, and out the other. When dentist guy is in the security room talking to beard guy and has the stupid sweater on, it's the same stupid sweater that Rickon was wearing.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's got that like the deer and the whatever
Oh,
on it.
I
And I'm
didn't notice
thinking,
that.
where would that have come from? What a weird
Do you recognize this sweater,
callback.
Gemma?
I can't, I
Like, they
don't
just love
know.
torturing them with shit from
They
their actual
do. It's
homes.
so
And
weird.
I think, oh, two more things.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just two more things. One, with the sexual aspect of it, I am getting the impression that that is not the conceit of the floor, but it's what the dentist is making it for.
Yeah, so
Like, he has obviously intentions for Gemma.
right. Well, and one of the things that I'm thinking may have been part of their thought process in choosing Gemma is she's infertile. You can have as much sex as you want to have with her, and
See, I
she's not
don't.
going to get pregnant. And then maybe they figured out a way to make a severed baby.
I
Like,
don't know.
I just,
Maybe.
it's so there, because I know there's more to this that's not been revealed yet,
Well,
but I
obviously.
do think that there is something about him wanting to impregnate her that's involved in this.
I don't know. Again, I don't know if that's Kier's vision, but I certainly think that's his vision.
Yeah, well,
I don't know,
he's
but
a cure guy, so yeah.
I'm talking about like the conceit of the mission of the floor. I'm not sure is to impregnate her. It might be. I don't know. But I don't get the vibe that that's anyone's mission but his. And I think that that's his own like idea of like, oh, that's what this is going to be. I get to do whatever I want to this poor woman and she won't remember. And that will also be part of the psychological torture in some of these rooms. Not all of them necessarily, but some of them. And
Well,
he'll
and
not remember, and she may or may not feel physical effects. We don't
right,
know.
and well, and giving birth, we know we can sever that out because we've seen
They
it.
they've already
So,
figured that out.
yeah.
The other thing that I want to mention, since we have finally gotten to the part of the story where we know that they were having difficulty with fertility, is in the very beginning of season one, they put poor Mark in a
In the
poor drunk Mark in
bedroom.
a bedroom with all the different stages of beds for a child, including a crib. And they knew that they were they must have known something about their infertility issues.
Oh, I'm sure.
They
What
must have.
have? Of course they did. They didn't keep secrets from them.
No. And so
Ugh.
putting him in that room is so fucked.
Cruel. It's cruel, is what
It's
it is.
cruel, and it's just
Well, and
so.
Rickon's a fucked up person anyway, so
Yeah, but
whatever.
Rick and also, like, they seem to have balanced each other out in a friend group setting, but as soon as Gemma left and she was the glue, it's just like, no.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of crazy that that happened. And n
Well,
looking back on that moment is wild.
we have much more to cover. How good it is compared to this episode, we're gonna see. But we are looking forward to sharing it with you. We hope that you join us. And cheers.
Cheers.